time, you're wondering what you have probably heard.
Tell you in a second. You have probably heard the common saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I expect to take 2 weeks, this week and next week, to deal with the subject that I'm introducing. Recently in reading, probably 3 weeks ago, I was reading a guy's article, and it was on almsgiving, A-L-M-S, almsgiving. And in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gives instructions about the giving of alms, we are told, the fellow wrote, not to make a show of our giving. We are told not to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing. To illustrate this matter of not making a show of it, the writer said it's like wearing something different for going to church services. He likened wearing something different for church, like putting it in a window for all to see. And he said, we're not supposed to do that. One of the problems with this explanation of wearing something different for church is that it assumes the wearer's motive is for display. And you can't make that assumption.
That's right.
You do not know. And this is where the fool rushes in. I plan to look at the subject of what you wear to church. Ah, yes. Yeah, an angel does not think to contend with a congregation over such. As I go along with this message, I hope you see that it is not about the clothing as much as it is about the motives. All right? I'm going to repeat that so you get it in your head. This message it deals with what to wear to church. But it deals with not so much what you put on as the motive that's inside. Nevertheless, consider a few thoughts on the matter of church dress. In life, it is common to dress appropriate for the event. Recently, our teens went on a hike at Rock City Park. They went on another one over at Kinzu Bridge Park in Mount Jewett. And they were instructed to wear closed-toed shoes. Now, some of our girls wear attractive footwear here to church services. I particularly have noticed that with Lily. Okay? I've noticed that she has a shoe collection. But I imagine they, the girls, nor Lily, wore any of them for the hike. Because number one, they would not have met the specified requirement for the hike. I do not expect any man, young or old, would wear a sport coat and tie to work in the garden or to put shingles on a roof. Secondly, in coming before God, one would expect to do their best. I'm going to repeat that. In coming before God, one would expect to do their best. And you see, when we come to church, we're coming before God. You can't go up into the sky and beyond our heavens and into the presence of God. You come to church. My best dress, okay, because I said there, in coming before God, one would expect to do their best. Now, y'all seem a little tense, okay? Relax, okay? You're okay. So just chill out a little, all right? One would expect in coming before God to do their best, their best. You see, my best dress, sport coat, slacks, ties, suit. I have a couple suits. I don't wear them as much as I used to. I have a couple suits. My suits, no. Is not on the same level as our former president, Donald Trump. He got his suits. Well, he didn't even go to a store and get them off a rack. The store came to him. But nevertheless, his came off of a different rack than my suits did. Okay? That little paper tag, he didn't have a paper tag on his even. But the paper tag on mine had a different figure on it than what would have been on his. Because you see, my best and his best were different. At this point is when a preacher dealing with this subject will say what I'm about to say. If the best you have is Levi, Wrangler, or whatever pair of jeans, then wear your best jeans. Yeah, okay. You see, we use that statement to show that we are considerate of all persons and all economic conditions. But that statement doesn't deal with the core matter of this subject, and that is motives. Follow along with me. Going to church, I already alluded to, is like going before God. And surely we want to show respect for God. Go ahead. Show up at a good friend's wedding in your painting clothes. And when somebody gives you an odd look, or when somebody might even say, "What's with you, dressed like that for a wedding? I can see the last three colors you used on your walls." You can proudly proclaim that the groom knows your heart, and your relationship with the groom isn't based on what you're wearing. Dress one way for a job, I suspect you would dress another way when there was a banquet to give you an award for something right that you did at that job. "Oh, not me. I wear the same thing one day." Oh, get off. You got to be kidding. Where you work, they're going to honor you. The whole company's going to come there. They're going to have you sit up front. They're going to have you walk up front. You mean to tell me you're going to wear the same thing that you wore to go to work yesterday? You've got an honesty factor at play. Now is when we must interject. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Go ahead, turn to it. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to it. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Because at this point in dealing with this message, not only this message, but this subject, is definitely when you must read 1 Samuel. John Samuel, they're buddies. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen.
And it is true that God sees the heart. But this verse has been taken and so misapplied, not only on this subject, but on many subjects that have to do with the heart of man. This same God who sees the heart and knows the heart, listen to me, that same God knows the mind of man. The mind of a man whereby the motives and the intentions of a man are also revealed. You see, you can't see the heart of a person. Neither can I. And you can't see the mind of a man as to what motivates him. And guess what? There are many Bible verses that talk about the motives and the intentions, why we do the things we do. Oh, that 1 Samuel 16:7, such a classic verse when we want to get into this subject. Now you understand why I say fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I mean, this was not popular 25 years ago. And the way society has gone in this realm, I cannot get over. We like to go once in a while out to a fancy restaurant. There is no such a thing anymore. The only thing that's fancy is the price on the menu. It was several years ago now. Could be 10, 15 years ago now. I'm not sure how long ago that we decided we're going to get dressed up and we're going to go out. And I think we may have gone to the old library, and that would have been back, you know, before they closed and reopened. So we got dressed up and we went out. And we were the only ones dressed up when we went out. Everybody else came in. Yep, you got it. Their jeans and t-shirts. Oh, they were their best jeans. And they were their best t-shirts. But I guarantee you, if they could eat at the old library off of that menu, they had other clothing as well. No one is going to tell me how to dress. And I have not done that. You say, well, you've come awful close. Close friends only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. In the beginning of this message, a writer likened dressing up for church to putting on a show for people to see. And he assumed the motive of people who dress up for church. Now listen, we have in our closets things we wear for Sunday services, and we have things we wear for Wednesday services. Yeah. Because you see, the Sunday service, in our mind, is the highlight. It is the top of the mountain in the church experience. And Wednesday night, because the event has a different purpose for us, I didn't say it ought to be for you, so get off of that kick. For us, okay, since it has a different purpose, we have different attire that we wear. Now, I guarantee you, if tomorrow I mow the lawn, I'm not going to do it dressed like this. Why not? Because it would ruin the clothing. This is not made for mowing lawns. And neither is what I wear to mow the lawn made to come up here in front of you or in front of an holy God. Like I said, I can just about hear someone thinking, no preacher's going to tell me what to wear. And I've not told you what to wear, but I am telling you, listen to me, I am telling you, examine your, not somebody else's, your motives for what you wear. You might be more humble to wear a pair of dress slacks and a tie. Say, how could that be? Well, if you're proud about the fact that you're going to dress the way you want, if you're proud about the fact that you're just going to wear your jeans to church, I don't care what anybody thinks, then you've got a pride problem. You've got a motive problem. You're not dressing that way because you think it's acceptable and fitting. No, you have a pride problem. You're going to dress the way you want to dress, not the way anybody else dresses. That's why I say you might actually be more humble than to wear dress slacks and a tie. Got the point? We're dealing with a motive problem. We're dealing with a heart. Isn't that what 1 Samuel 16:7 says? God knows the heart. We're dealing with a heart problem. Let me give you an illustration. To go back in time, way back in time. I've used some of these illustrations and I've had people come up to me and say, your illustration existed before I was born. That's what happens when you look like this. Way back in 1968 era, you say era when you aren't specifically certain of the date. But back in the 1968 era, my job was to drive a step van that looks like the Stroman bread trucks, okay? A step van delivering potato chips and pretzels for our family company. After I rededicated my life to Christ, I started attending prayer meeting. But there was no time to go home and change into church clothes. And believe me, back then, there was church clothes. And so I'd show up, parking my delivery truck outside of the church, city church, okay? Park my delivery truck outside of the church, and I'd go in with my delivery uniform. Now back then, you had a uniform, okay? My brother bought them from a uniform company. And the jacket, when it was wintertime, the jacket had my name embroidered on it. It had the name of the potato chip, Jack Haynes Potato Chip Company, embroidered on it. I'd show up for the prayer meeting service, and you had a trucker's wallet with a chain on it because you didn't want to lose what was in it. Did I ever tell you the story about how one time I got tired of backing into mom and pop stores and they had these household storm doors and the fancy grill work to protect the screen and my chain backing in holding two or three boxes sometimes of product would get caught. And then I'd have to look over at the owner of the store and say, will you come and unhook me? And so anyway, I decided, I'm taking the chain off. I've had it. I put the chain back on. A few days later, when I reached for my wallet and it wasn't there, I jumped in, I ran out front hoping it was at that store, but it wasn't. I jumped in the truck, literally raced back to the previous store, pulled into the parking lot, and God was with me. There my wallet was, this being the parking lot, sitting upright on the parking lot. Elma, when I checked in that night, over $1,000 was in that wallet. I put the chain back on. I put the chain back on and I kept it there. So I'd show up in prayer meeting dressed like I just described. And you know what? All of those old saints, and they were all old, they were happy to see a young fella.
Yeah.
How old was I then, about? Like 20? 20, okay. They were happy to see me. And I was happy to be there. And they'd have rather seen me in my delivery man's uniform than to not be there.
Yep.
And I feel the same way about it, and I'm going to get personal, when John Mark, or not so much anymore, but I know Sam, there were prayer meetings he'd show up, and he had dusted off as much as he could of the sanding, you know, for the drywall. And there's times when John Mark comes in here and he's got an old t-shirt on and he's got his jeans on, and they're not his best boots, by the way, but they have his jeans on. And listen to me, and I say it to you and you and anybody else it's true of, we'd rather see you in those clothing than to not be here. I'd rather see you show up dressed like that as some old saints had me show up, okay? And besides that, we know they, when they get home and finally get cleaned up a little bit, they don't look all that bad when they get cleaned up. But, well, all right, I can't prove everything. So, God sees their heart and their mind. So what's the point in all of this? Well, in case you haven't figured it out, since God knows the heart and the mind, make sure that whatever the action that is right before God first, and then yourself. You're not going to believe this, but I honestly don't care what you wear. What I care about is your heart and mind.
That's right.
And if you're dressed down, that's a common day term. That didn't exist back in 1968. But if you're dressed down and your heart is right with God, and you don't have an attitude of, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, you see? That's just not right. And I would venture to say, if that's how you are on this subject, you're probably that same way on some other subjects. When somebody preaches something or teaches something that goes contrary to what you think, you're going to think in your own heart and mind, I don't care what McVeigh says. I don't care what Taylor says. I really like Pastor Asquith. He's a great fellow, but I don't care what he says on that matter. I'm going to do what I want to do. God looketh on the heart. And God sees the heart. That's why I say this is not a matter of what you put on, but a matter of what's inside. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're in chapter 16. And now I'm going to have you go to the beginning of the chapter, to chapter 2. And we want to look at verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So yes, to the person who says, well, I don't care what their stature is in life. They could own a tie. They could put on a dress shirt and a tie. They could go to a thrift store and get a sport coat. They could, anybody could wear decent church clothes. Let not arrogancy come out of the mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? But then there's the person who says, doesn't matter to me. I never wore a tie. I don't like to wear ties, and I'm not going to wear a tie. I don't care how much or who says anything about it. I'm not going to. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. You see, both approaches are not right. Because both approaches are exceeding pride. What it says is, you looking at the Bible? 1 Samuel chapter 2, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Both are prideful talk. That's why I say it's not what you're wearing, but it's how your heart is. Now, to some, it might cause you to dress up a little. And to some others, it might just cause you to dress down a little. You following with me? You understand the gist and the trend? Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions what I weigh. He weighs them. Now there's five additional verses that I'm going to look at next week that have to do, some relevant scriptures having to do with this matter of the mind and the heart. Father in heaven, we not only want your direction, we need your direction.
Pray.